This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This weekly series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. This is another in our special series of broadcasts from Africa, designed to give our audience some first-hand reports on events in that important but often greatly misunderstood part of the world. On this program, we take great pleasure in presenting an exclusive interview with Prime Minister Ian Smith of Rhodesia. This is Mr. Smith's first appearance on a nationwide radio broadcast in the United States, and we know you'll be interested in his comments on Rhodesia's struggle for independence. Prime Minister Smith is interviewed by W.J. Simmons of Jackson, Mississippi, administrator of the Citizens Councils of America and editor of the Council's official magazine, The Citizen, who is currently on a fact-finding tour of Africa. Now, speaking from Salisbury, Rhodesia, here is our friend and colleague, Bill Simmons.
We are privileged to have as our guest on Citizens Council Forum the Honorable Ian Smith, Prime Minister of Rhodesia. Mr. Prime Minister, welcome to Citizens Council Forum. Since last November 11th, when the Proclamation of Independence was issued, Rhodesia has been the center of world attention. And I'd like to ask you, Mr. Prime Minister, why was this proclamation issued?
Well, this, of course, is quite a long story, but I'll try to give it to you in a nutshell. First of all, we, as a country, had been enjoying responsible government, and this was internal autonomy in our country for over 40 years, from 1923. And we believed that we were entitled to our independence when there were many countries in Africa who had not had responsible government for more than about 6 months and were thereafter granted their independence. But perhaps even more significant, in 1961, when we accepted our new constitution, we were told, the country were promised, that if the Federation came to an end, they would be granted independence on that constitution. Now, this was accepted by everybody. Nobody denied it. And then, when the Federation did come to an end, we went to what was known as the Victoria Falls Conference. And we were promised that if we cooperated with Britain in dissolving the Federation, that they would grant us our independence. So you see, we had a very good case. I believe that any court of law would have agreed that we were entitled to our independence.
So the present government of Rhodesia is not a new one, but it has been in office for some time.
Oh, yes. This particular government has. I mean, we've been in office for about 4 years, I suppose, now. But Rhodesia has had responsible government, I repeat, for 40 years and more.
And this is quite in contrast to the record in other Central African nations existing today.
I think you'll find that many of these, and for example, our two federal neighbors, our federal partners, were given their independence after really no experience in responsible government.
Mr. Prime Minister, what has been the reaction in Rhodesia herself among her people to this new status?
Well, I think the most significant thing that has happened since our independence on the 11th of November is that a tremendous Rhodesian spirit has been formed. We have formed a Rhodesian nation that did not exist before. And I would doubt whether there was any country in the world where the people of that country are as united as they are in Rhodesia today. Impartial observers, for instance, have stated that they believe that this government has the support of 96% of the electorate of this country. Well, this is quite an incredible figure.
96%?
Yes.
As an American visiting Rhodesia, I was interested to note that your Proclamation of Independence has a rather familiar ring. Was there any precedent thought of in its concept?
Well, of course, we did take the trouble to have a look at various proclamations of independence from other countries in the world. And I don't think there is any doubt that the most famous of all of these is the American. Maybe we paid particular attention to the American document, but I can assure you it wasn't the only one. Now, after reading and studying these, we then produced our own proclamation, which we thought was well suited to our own conditions.
Yes, sir. Mr. Prime Minister, the Wilson Labour government in Britain and the Johnson administration in the United States have declared their opposition to your government, and they have invoked economic sanctions in an attempt to bring its downfall. Have any reasons been given for this hostility on the part of Britain and the United States?
Well, I think Britain is a little peeved that because we became impatient, rightly so, waiting for them to fulfill the obligations that they had made to us, the promises that they had made to us, we decided to take matters into our own hands, and this annoyed them. As far as America is concerned, we cannot find any reason. I regret that America has resorted to the action she has. And we can only believe that this is because she is supporting Britain. Maybe it's the old policy of you scratch my back, I scratch yours. But I would say in passing that when one sees how Britain is opposing America, for example, in Vietnam, how they are actually assisting the Viet Cong, and the Viet Cong are killing young Americans, I believe, and Australians and New Zealanders for that matter, we find this difficult to believe. However, this is an old one I've mentioned before, and I don't want to unnecessarily dwell on this.
What effects, Mr. Prime Minister, have the sanctions had in Rhodesia internally?
Well, I think it is correct to say that the sanctions have not caused the trouble that we originally anticipated. They haven't been as bad as we had expected. Certainly we've got petrol rationing, for instance. However, I think it's a generous ration. I know there are many people who say that they still have more petrol than they need. I think probably the most significant thing is that it is putting Rhodesians on their toes. They have got to use their initiative to find ways and means of circumventing sanctions. Our factories, our young, virile factories, industrialists, are now producing things which we were not producing before. And so, to sum it up, I would say that I believe we are going to come out of this exercise a lot stronger than we went into the exercise. And if I'm correct, of course, in the end, this will be a great benefit to Rhodesia.
I know as an observer or visitor to Rhodesia from overseas, I had been impressed myself after reading about the rationing to find that traffic seemed to be normal to all outward appearances. And in the respect you mentioned of Rhodesia becoming stronger as a result of the sanctions and turning to manufacturing things herself, does this not follow in a very general sort of way the developments that occurred in South Africa when sanctions were applied against her?
Yes, I think that this is probably so. But I believe that it is even more dramatic here in Rhodesia because the sanctions against us are far more vicious than any sanctions that were imposed against South Africa.
Mr. Prime Minister, are there any loopholes in these sanctions?
Oh, yes. There are quite a few loopholes. In fact, I believe there are some of the countries in the world other than Britain who now realize that Britain has enticed them to join in the sanctions, that there is concrete proof that Britain has still carried on trading with us when it has suited her, for example, to obtain strategic materials, after having got, for example, the United States to cut off supplies to the United States themselves. And I have information that there are a number of countries in the world a little bit peeved at what has happened, and I would say understandably so.
You mean after agreeing to follow Britain's request to invoke sanctions, then they waked up to find that
Britain has been agreeing to British industrialists under the counter, so to speak, carrying on importing from us. In fact, they have issued permits. And this has antagonized countries, and I would say with justification.
Mr. Prime Minister, do you think this attitude toward Rhodesia, exhibited by Britain and the United States, has been consistent with the policies that they've instituted toward certain other new nations in Central Africa?
Well, of course, quite the reverse. I mean, how many examples have we of countries in Africa that have resorted to unconstitutional action. It's far easier, of course, to think of the countries that have maintained constitution. There are very few exceptions. And yet one does seem to find that no matter what these countries do, Britain and America continue to support them, and to support them financially very strongly. I mean, we've had some quite incredible positions of countries such as Tanzania and Ghana, who severed relations with Britain. Countries who are openly associated with communist Russia, for instance, and yet the Western democracies continue to supply them with finance in order to bolster their economies and to keep them alive, to support them. Well, I have found it very, very difficult indeed to reconcile this sort of thing in the world today. It makes me wonder whether there are many people who openly espouse our way of living and who openly oppose communism. Make me wonder whether they are, after all, sincere in what they say, because their actions don't always match up to their words. I regret to have to say this.
At this point, we're going to have to break in because our time for this week's broadcast is up. You've been listening to the first part of an exclusive interview with Prime Minister Ian Smith of Rhodesia, recorded in Salisbury, Rhodesia by Bill Simmons, Administrator of the Citizens' Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when Citizens' Council Forum will present the second part of this significant discussion, which we hope will contribute to your understanding of the problems facing Rhodesia in that nation's effort to maintain independence. Till next week, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.